I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, my friends and Madeline's. How are you, everyone? We are back in the studios. We are just this one studio. We are bouncing from studio to studio.
So many studios. Yeah, so little time.
Yeah. We've got all of this one podcast, but we're throwing it at various different studios to see which one fits. Madeline, you just got back from New York, where you had a victorious time there, did you not?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah?
I had
tell us.
I wrote a web series with one of our former guests, Paul Welsh, and we had it in the New York Television Festival, and we had a wonderful time. Just a very quick shout out to that festival. It's such a good, fun festival, and The people who run it are so good. So, hey, if you have ever thought about doing it, or if this is the first time you're hearing about it, like, submit your shit to it. It's great.
Yeah. What's it called again?
The New York Television Festival.
Nice.
And so we won a couple awards for the web series that we submitted. It is very exciting.
That is very exciting.
And my husband, Ben, he had a completely separate project in, which also won an award.
Nice.
So it was very exciting and just a very cool weekend. And on Saturday, Saturday was the awards ceremony. So, we won these awards. And then midnight on Saturday was my husband Ben's 30th birthday. And so it just seemed like the best, funnest night in the world.
Sure.
And then I didn't want to even say this on the podcast because I'm very embarrassed about it because it's very out of character for me.
Uh-huh.
I drank too much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I really, I mean, you know me. I, am such a light drinker. I honestly enjoy it very much. And I didn't ever drink until I was, well past 21.
Yeah.
And I, drink, very moderately and maybe once every 3 weeks. It just felt so, I was, in celebration mode.
Yeah.
And I was, it was, you know, I was with Ben and and also a lot of his friends, his friends who are boys, and I was kind of trying to keep up with the boys, and I'm not a boy. I'm a lady who's smaller than most of those boys.
Yeah, true.
And so I was so
sad that you're not smaller than all of them.
I'm not smaller than all of those.
It's a testament to comedy.
Yeah.
Not me personally, but we're a tiny bunch of comedy. Napoleonic bunch. Sorry, go on.
So we went to a bar where the special was a tall boy of Tecate and a shot of whiskey. And I was like, it's Ben's birthday. We got to do shots. Which is
one of the guys.
I know, and it's not, I really am not equipped. I'll never do it again, because I ended up throwing up.
Oh, no.
Outside of the window of a cab.
Oh, you okay. You had one of them nights.
Yes, I'm 31. It's never happened to me before.
Is that how old you were, 31? Okay.
Yeah, did you think I was older or younger? important question. Did you think I was older or younger?
I mean, to be totally honest, I thought maybe you were 32.
That's
so
fair.
It's not markedly older, but
I'm 30. Yeah, I turned 31 in May. I'm 31, almost 31 and a half.
Yeah, 31 and a half. 31 and a half.
So I'm 31 and a half, and this has never happened to me before. And then the next day, I was staying with my in-laws, with Ben's parents.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt so horrible the next day, and I threw up in the morning, and I was, so embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so stupid. I really felt so bad, and they were so nice to
me. I'm sure.
They're the best people. They really were so kind to me. And they were told me stories about experiences they had when they I felt a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, it was really nice. But one of the I threw up in the morning and it was like mostly just like water and, you know, like disgusting, like whatever I drank the last night. But yeah. then at the very end of my throw up, there was a tiny bit of blood in my throw up. And I was really scared. I was really scared. But I also was like using my rational brain. I was like, well, the first thing I thought was, well, a nice thing happened to me and I fucked it all up by making bad decisions. I really was like, this is my cosmic like, I've perforated the inside of my stomach and I deserve it because that's what happens to bad girls who make bad choices.
This is true.
Truly. I was like, this is what, like, now I'll die and I will have ruined not only my life but my husband's life and my right. parents are going to be so sad and, like, this is why you don't drink. And then I was like, okay, relax. There are so many people who live their whole lives like this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like, and they're fine. Like, nobody's, you know, this does, I've never heard of like somebody, I've heard of people like drinking too much and choking on their vomit and dying, but not like breaking their stomach and then they die right away.
No, that's pretty rare.
I've been ever since, just to like give you even a little too much more information, I've been, for the past several days, like closely inspecting my poop to make sure I'm not bleeding in my stomach. And it's been all clear.
All clear.
All clear.
All quiet on the Western
Front. Yeah, all quiet on the Western Front. But I was so proud of myself for not saying anything to anyone because I didn't want to ruin the mood of the day. Mm-hmm. And also for not Googling it because I was like, if I Google this, I will spiral. I'm confident I'll end up needing to go to the emergency room if I Google this.
Sure, and I
never Googled it. I still haven't Googled it. If somebody's listening and you are confident that this really is a bigger emergency than I've treated it as such,
Just leave it alone.
Let me know.
Leave it alone out there, Googlers.
I didn't listeners. Google it, but I also, again, still feel more bad about my behavior than I should.
Okay. So, all right, let's nip this in the bud.
Okay. I feel listen, bad.
You're
I also
ridiculous.
Feel like my parents maybe will listen to this and they'll be ashamed.
No, your parents aren't going to be ashamed. If they are, from me to you, Madeline's folks, a few things. One, I think it's great that you celebrated this victory.
Yeah.
If I know anyone who's slightly too hard on themselves for no reason whatsoever, it's Madeline Q. Walter. The Q stands for quit being so hard on yourself. No, but you had a good night. You had a victory.
Yeah.
You won an award. Your husband turned 30.
Yeah.
He also won an award. There was a lot of good stuff happening, and you chose to take an opportunity to celebrate.
Yes.
Instead of going back and working infinitely more hard, which let's be honest, that is a rational decision as well.
Yeah.
It's one that we've often talked ourselves into. Well, hard work got us here, so let's go back and work hard. There's no time to celebrate.
Yeah.
This isn't the victory.
Yeah.
The victory will come down the road.
Yes.
There are
yes.
a lot of victories in this life. This was one of them.
Yeah.
One of them is the victory of acknowledging your successes. And so you had a couple of drinks. You maybe learned the hard way about rolling down windows in cabs when you get into them. But all in all, you took an opportunity to celebrate with, one, yourself, and two, with people that you care a lot about.
Yeah.
And that's worth celebrating enough, is having people in your life that you care about. Having Ben turn 30 years old, that's something that's worth celebrating on its own. And so you went out and you didn't say, okay, let's take it easy. You weren't the voice of reason.
No.
You just went out and you had a good time and you went home and you puked blood. And I'm proud of you for puking that blood. No, I'm not proud of you for puking the blood.
No.
But I am proud of you for not Googling it. And I will say that I'm not proud of myself because I went down just a real Google rabbit hole.
No, what did you Google?
So I had a thing a couple days ago where a neighbor outside of my apartment called me over on my way. I was headed to the gym, and he saw me as I was walking out, and he waved me over, and I went over and talked to him for a bit. I told him I was going to the gym, and he said that he goes to the gym as well, but he hadn't been able to go recently because – and then he, like, rolled up his sleeves, and he showed me these, like – I don't know. They were, like, wounds or blisters bad rashes that were,
that's
like,
that's a
all...
bizarre thing for a stranger to do.
So he's not a stranger, like, he's, like – Yeah, and I'm not going to like compare him to that like that lady that owns Pierce at your Madeline has like yeah. a neighbor that is like way too up in her business and like has a weird cat that like sometimes seems like it's dead but is actually alive. Named Pierce.
Yeah.
So we're not close like that, but we'll talk like when we pass each other on the way to the dumpster or whatever.
He's a dumpster friend.
Exactly. Right, yeah. It's weird that I only see him at the dumpster, but let's move on. So yeah, we were hanging outside the dumpster and we're talking and he reveals these things to me and you know I'm sympathetic but I'm also terrified because I think that's in a nutshell that's me, sympathetic but terrified.
Yeah.
And so I say, okay, well, good luck. You know, I hope you're well. I'm going to go to the gym. And he does this like elaborate handshake with me. This guy that's got like these wounds like all up and down his arms does this like elaborate handshake with me. And so like I was proud of myself temporarily, meaning like I didn't just run upstairs, you know, lather myself in Purell and you know, slide down this Google rabbit hole. But I did when I finally – I couldn't stop thinking about it the whole time I was at the gym. And then there was like this feeling that I was like now spreading this guy's wounds to like the entire gym.
Oh, when hypochondria extends to like a feeling of – responsibility for the human race, that's like that's a whole nother level.
Exactly. And because if there is a trifecta that would complete those two other emotions I expressed, totally it's guilt.
Yes.
And so I went and so I'm there at the gym and I start like looking up things and I'm not getting anywhere, so then I go home and I had had this. We've talked about this before. Yeah. I don't think on the podcast, but just you and I have that like that movies and television make it seem like all sicknesses have the same type of wounds that like looks like, you know, like everybody looks like they've got like those lesions that like Tom Hanks had in Philadelphia on their body. Yes. And that could mean
it's like every makeup artist only knows how to do like one rash.
Exactly. Yeah. There's just that one movie rash that like gets everybody.
It's
and
like
so
the
like
Wilhelm scream, but a rash.
Exactly.
The Wilhelm. Guys, if you've noticed this, give us the hashtag Wilhelm Rash.
The Wilhelm Rash, And so there, so what I do is I just start like looking up the things that it potentially could be based on like the movies that I've seen. And so like I start and I'm like, and I look up leprosy because I'm just like, all right, if this guy's a leper, I need to know about it. And so as a result, he does not have leprosy, but I had never actually seen leprosy before.
Ooh, baby.
And,
oh my God. Yeah.
It's horrible. It's just the worst.
It's like a zombie. I bet like zombies probably originated, like how people used to think giants were, mountains were sleeping giants.
Yeah,
I think probably the idea of zombies came from just seeing people with leprosy and being like, you're dead.
It's
a dead person walking around.
Right. And then like their shoulder fell off.
Yeah.
And then you're like, that's what a zombie is. Yeah. So he doesn't have leprosy, but I learned what leprosy looks like, terrified.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. So then I looked up lesions, you know, like to see like, does he have like, because he had told me it was an allergy, but in my mind, it's like, I need to make sure this isn't. And not that I could get AIDS from an elaborate handshake.
Yeah.
But no, and it wasn't lesions either.
Oh, good. Okay.
So then I looked up scabies, because it's like, I'm just looking up all the things that I can think of. Scabies, less scary. It made me much less upset, but it wasn't that either.
Okay.
So the thing I came up with that it was closest to, I think, was shingles.
Oh, shingles is terrifying.
Yeah, but I don't think it was shingles. It was just something in like the family of shingles.
Yeah.
And so so now I find that I can't not
imagine you have shingles.
I just I find myself looking at my arms.
Do you have phantom itches?
I haven't had them yet, which is the little bit that I'm proud
of. Yeah, that's I would be very
It's a victory. I guess what we've learned today, folks, is that there are big victories and there are small victories. In either case, you drink until you puke out of a taxi cab window.
And I would say a small victory is winning a festival, and a big victory is knowing when not to Google what happened to your body.
That's right. So may you have as many small victories as possible.
And please drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly.
I don't want to romanticize my behavior because it was more unpleasant than pleasant.
Here's what we're going to say. If you're going to drink a lot, I mean, don't drink to excess, folks. But if you're going to drink a lot, drink in celebration. Don't drown your sorrows, right?
Yes.
And one thing to celebrate? Happy birthday, Ben Green.
Happy birthday, Ben Green.
Should we start?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Folks, we've got a great guest for you today. He's a good friend. He's an actor, a musician, a comedian, a writer, and an all-around cool dad. His name is Michael Cassidy. You've seen him in Freak Dance, Comedy Bang Bang. You can currently both see and hear him. Well, I guess you can see and hear everyone on television. You can see him perform and hear his music on the Netflix original series Love. You know him from the band Don't Stop or We'll Die. You've seen him on the UCB stage with Arts and Athletics, as well as the great sketch team from years past, A Kiss from Daddy. Now he's the daddy giving kisses himself. Michael Cassidy's here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, Daddy. I request now, since I've become a father, whenever I walk into a room.
And everybody must address you as Daddy, which right. is... a little off-putting, I have to say.
Well, certainly that was the reason we named a sketch team that before any of us were anywhere near being daddies. We're
how like, many
that'd be funny.
A Kiss from Daddy people are daddies now?
Yeah, how many?
There's two. Well, one.
Two daddies?
One, yeah. One is going to be a daddy soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's guess who?
No, he's been on this podcast. Alan McLeod.
He's going to be a daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Did I get an exclusive drop?
Wow. Wow.
And you're already
that's
first,
so
folks.
Exciting.
It wasn't like a secret,
it's not
though.
Secret, right?
No,
it's
no,
like,
no,
okay,
no.
Okay.
Well, it ain't anymore.
Yeah, no,
anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Well. You hear it, everybody? Who else can I like?
Daddy McLeod.
Wait, like how long ago? Because we need to make sure that it didn't happen on this podcast. We're not.
Yeah, they didn't conceive on this podcast?
Did it happen on this? Was it one of those? I have some friends that got pregnant after the same rock concert. Like they went to one rock concert for actually somebody else who was on this podcast, Josh Epstein. Uh-huh. Some friend of mine's back home went to a junior concert and got pregnant that night. And then a few years later went to another one and got pregnant with triplets that
man.
Night.
Man, yeah. junior makes junior. Them so horny.
Yeah. Junior.
So many junior juniors.
So many junior juniors.
Yeah. Junior juniors.
Yeah. So I think this podcast may have the same effects on.
No, I think so. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very sensual podcast.
My wife and I are probably conceiving now, even though she's not present.
But she's been on the podcast, so it's possible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the overlap is probably enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're very fertile, so that's all it would take is just us being an inch from the same microphone.
Yeah. We never clean these chairs. So gross.
Man.
So gross.
Why would you ever clean a chair, though?
Why would you?
I've never cleaned a chair.
Not if you're one of, I mean, only if you don't want to have kids.
Right. That's birth control, is you vacuuming off the chair seats after everyone leaves. You're like, baby, don't worry. You can't get pregnant. I'm vacuuming the chair seats after everybody leaves. Now, let's go, Rado.
That is like, you have to. If you're going to ask your guests to go raw dog, you need to make sure that all your seats are proper level.
If you're asking your guests to go raw dog, we've got a world of questions you need to bring up with those people. But certainly that's where I would start.
A world of questions like, where do I sign up?
We are not that kind of podcast. The way we see it, no pants, no chance. You get out of here. Get out of here.
That's a strong policy.
Yeah. It's
controversial.
Yeah,
it is.
No pants, no chance. Yeah.
Shoots, shoes, shirts.
Service.
We don't care. Yeah, we'll give you service.
Shoes, shirts, we don't care.
Shirts, service.
That's how we feel.
It's like a triple negative anyway, the way it is. Not appropriate.
Yeah. You want service? Wear a shirt. You better not go raw dog. Get on in here. Let's start the podcast.
That's a great sign.
Thank you.
Put it right outside of 7-Eleven.
Get on in here. So anyway, Madeline, you want to kick off our first question?
Yeah. Important question to start with. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is kind of a bit of a layered question. I feel like actually the baby changes this a little bit. I would say before, almost never thinking about it.
Mm.
And now, so what's, I don't know, like half the scale difference. Let's say a 2 before, and now it's like a 7. I feel like I think about it every day.
That's a big leap.
Where I'm like, at least at some point in passing during the day, I'm like, what if that happened? You can kind of see whatever, that car, what if they swerve too fast? Or like, yeah. Oh, I get a call and I have cancer today or whatever the thing is. I feel like I have a split second moment where I'm like, oh, shit, is this today the day that I get this like awful news or something?
Yeah.
So now much more so. Mm. So yeah, like a two before, I feel like I still don't really, I'm not like fretting about it all the right. time, but I used to really not fret about it at all.
Yeah. Is it because your life got so good when you had a baby and you're like, oh, it'd be so sad if yeah. it left? Or is it because you're like, now if I died, it would be complicated?
I think it's both of those things. Because yeah. I think it's certainly the selfish thing of like, oh, man, this is getting really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I have like a lot to lose, maybe, is the selfish thing of
yeah.
like,
sure, no.
whatever. Oh, man. This would suck if I was just like, hey, you have 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ah, oh, but this just, ah. But there is definitely also the thing of like, now, before, if I got sick or hurt or died or something terrible, that would suck for me and, you know, my parents and obviously my family and stuff.
Yeah.
But now if that happened, it'd be kind of fucked up. Like
yeah.
if I died or something yeah. awful, it would, you know, the permutations of that being bad kind of, the ripple effect goes a lot further
oh,
now.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess both.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like it doesn't affect my daily life. Like, I'm not really making different decisions based
right, right.
on
yeah,
that change.
Yeah.
You're just aware
Which
of the consequences.
Which is probably good and healthy.
Yeah. yeah, right. But, you know, I... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, well, I mean, I certainly hope that nothing bad happens to you. But
Thank
specifically,
you.
Yeah. I hope that nothing bad happens to Rigby. And I think that's sort of one of the things is that we like that there's an interesting thing that happens when you stop being the youngest generation of your people, you know? Like we were sort of talking about it at, mm-hmm. at breakfast this morning I'll speak for myself so that Madeline doesn't have to explain this to her parents later. But it's like, and for my money, it was like my parents don't matter anymore because I exist. Like that, they created a new generation,
You're
and then
the new
now
mantle,
I'll create
yeah.
a new. And like so, the selfish thing would be to think that. That my children will be the next that matter. But I don't think that's the case. I think it's your children. You're in my generation. We're all in the same generation. And now you've made children that just matter more than your – by making children, I don't matter anymore. And I don't know. I sort of – I've embraced that.
But, almost like how like bugs like sometimes when they procreate, then they'll just die because
yeah.
they're like, I'm not useful anymore.
Yeah.
And some – yeah, some species the baby would actually consume.
Yeah.
The parent.
And I think that that's
Which
I think
species?
I think that's cool.
Like insects, right? Like
yeah.
there's
oh, yeah.
there's like spiders and stuff that like the baby gets born and then they like chomp on
yeah.
the mother till they're dead.
And then you've
Whoa.
Got like ones
what?
Where like the mother devours the father because the father's seed
yeah.
was the only thing that was important about it.
Black,
I think
these
black
things
widows. Are yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
and mantises I think do that.
I think Rigby's going to do that too.
She's going to devour it.
Every once in a while she starts crawling and like nibbling at my ankle. So I assume that at some point she'll get strong enough she could eat my entire
yeah.
like skin and bones.
Are you a,
and then stand above me and say it's my turn
it's
now.
My turn. It is, and she's right. It's her turn.
Yeah.
Are you a very cautious dad? Are you like scared of something happening to Rigby all the time? Are you
no?
Cool,
I guess
cool dad?
I mean, I'm yeah. all, very cool, but I don't know. I don't feel like I'm like a paranoid like our house is not as baby-proofed as a lot of houses are. Like, she gets into cupboards and stuff, and we're not too, like, paranoid about,
yeah.
oh, she can't, like, I don't know, wander into, like, dangerous places. Obviously,
yeah.
we're not, like, encouraging her to go do dangerous things,
yeah.
but I feel like we keep her safe,
yeah.
and
yeah.
we don't go, like, nuts about it. Like, there's definitely a certain part of, like, she gets hurt, she falls. And that's just a part of it is you have to, like, let her get hurt. Like,
yeah.
That's, like, one of the shittiest parts is, like, and now you, and then you completely understand, too, like, conversations that you had with your parents where
yeah.
they were, like, whatever. And you're, like, how can you let me suffer?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
this. And, like, I mean, Rigby's a complete baby. She's mm-hmm. just a true, like, there's not a lot of life happening at her yet. But you can see already versions of, like,
yeah.
oh, man, you gotta let her pick herself back up before mm-hmm. she, like, learns how to, you know. Handle herself. She, I would say that I'm not too paranoid about it. I, as much as any parent, I suppose.
Sure.
But I don't know. Like, she's rough and tumble. Like, she's, yeah. like, all over the place. It's great.
Did she get sick a lot?
No, we've been very lucky with her. She had jaundice when she was born.
Oh, really?
So she had, like...
That's, like, yellow
yeah,
spots?
Yeah, exactly, where they, like, in the extreme cases, like, the skin turns orange and stuff like that.
Ooh.
And now they can just bring a UV bed to your house.
Whoa.
So they just brought in this little, like, 2x3 foot... It looks like a little, like, what do you call it? Transparency machine.
Oh, oh right, yeah, 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 like a or like projector, a thing. An overhead projector.
Yeah, like when you like a doctor like throws an X-ray up on the wall.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's like that. But she lays on it like a bed, and you like Whoa. Kind of tuck like you have to wrap her in blankets, so she's just getting UV pumped into her skin all day long. Like it's crazy. But that's the only, and that's I mean, most babies have jaundice. That's like the most common thing ever.
Right. Yeah.
To varying degrees. But now you don't even have to go like to the hospital. People who were pregnant even just a year before us had these horror stories of like we had to, you know, leave our baby like a newborn in the hospital and drive back and forth because they had to be in like, you know, like a UV, like a Jurassic Park style and like a, in a facility where they had to keep coming in and out and they were laying in like a bed of like lamps and stuff.
Oh, geez.
With dinosaurs.
Not anymore. Yeah, right. Huh. And they had to survive a week with a dinosaur in a little cage.
That's why your baby's so rough and tumble.
Yeah, that's right.
And you didn't get sick much as a kid, right? We talked about this before.
Not really. No, I still don't. I don't really get, I don't know, maybe like a cold or flu. Like once a year tops.
Yeah.
If something is going around, I'll catch it once in a while. If I'm like, especially tired or, you know, rest deprived or something like that.
Yeah.
But I like when I was a kid. I mean, I would certainly fictionalize an illness or two.
Yeah.
I would say like probably half the time, I was like. Getting out of school.
You were a faker?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well,
oh, my gosh.
I was an actor, Madeline. but I would say I definitely did the math, like, in my head because I was also, like, a little overachiever or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
calculated the number of days that you could miss without being kind of penalized
for it.
Or, like, and when, like, what's a day that I know that we're going to be doing some nonsense where, like, we just read in class and why am I going to school? And I would target... like days before tests and stuff like that, where it's like, this is dumb. Why are we going to school?
Oh, right. So you knew when you could phone it in.
Yeah.
And then you're strategic about it.
You were an actor.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. Yeah. I mean, I definitely then like had like Boy Who Cried Wolf a little bit because I got ear infections a bunch. I had a lot of ear infections when I was a kid. And I've had a couple as an adult. It's like the most excruciating thing. Ear infections are the absolute worst.
I used to have them a lot when I was a kid, but I have not had one as an adult.
So painful.
Ugh.
Anything up there, like it's, sinus and ear, all that like skull cavity stuff is so weird. It's so painful. It's so acute.
It's just localized pain in like the ear?
It's like knives going into you know, the pain is a very sharp thing. And the ear infection is like, you know, like it's like gross fluid not draining down.
Ugh.
It's like also all these dumb leftovers of like the sinus cavities are kind of like leftovers from like what are we doing with those?
Yeah.
It's not like
you left out your phlegm too long.
I feel like it is like a gallbladder or something that's like we don't need you to like balance our bile anymore.
You're
just kind of sitting in there with the rest of it from before, and like sinuses seem kind of like that. A bunch of that stuff I feel like they say that about your tonsils and wisdom teeth for sure. That's from when we had to like chew on a leaf for 10 hours to eat it or something.
And now
why
we
do we
just
the teeth don't fit. Like you see the X-ray and you're like, where's it going? There's nowhere for that tooth to go. So,
whoopsie.
That's why we really used to have wisdom teeth because for like gnawing on food
it was
for
like
long
an
periods of time.
It was like an extension of your molars,
yeah.
so you could like grind up and meat. I guess probably more to the point than a leaf.
Yeah.
It's probably from eating an animal like a tooth.
Right.
Yeah.
Back when we just took an animal and just like ate it.
Yeah.
Instead of cooking it or something.
Yeah.
That makes me think, what's up with our teeth these days? I mean, they're so like, they feel like
they're so in the middle,
right? Like, aren't they? They're not like dull and incapable of chewing, but like you wouldn't win a, you know, when you're talking about like,
dog.
Well, yeah, I know.
That's,
that's what's up with our teeth.
Yeah. But like, what's where are they headed? Like, where is the evolution of human teeth headed? Like,
probably to be gone.
Like, will we have the one Soylent, super tooth?
And then we'll have like a soft gummy super tooth just to make it easier.
Soft gummy super tooth to
drink our Soylent drink while we sit and live life through our virtual reality simulator.
You're real hung up on these Soylent products these days. What's going on with you? Are you on a Soylent diet?
Yeah, it just saves time. I don't like the flavor of food. I don't have the time to eat. So I love Soylent. It's changed my life, man.
Dog.
I'm sold.
Yeah. Soft gummy super teeth.
So you had a ton of ear infections as a kid. But
yeah,
you
I had like earplugs
seriously because of what a faker you are.
No, they took it seriously enough when because in an ear infection that's a very like measurable thing. So as much as it might have taken me a little longer to convince, maybe if I'd just kind of gone on a tear of like getting out of school, like. It's a very measurable thing.
Yeah.
Like
right.
A doctor looks in your ear and they can tell you, oh, this kid's in a lot of pain right now because it's a disaster in here. And then as an adult, it's just as painful. It's super lame. But I don't know. Beyond that, I've had a lot of kind of like I have a surgical history more than I have like illness history.
What do you mean? What do you mean surgical history?
When I was like very young, I had like this was kind of post ear infection, the post ear infection era.
Okay.
My family calls it.
Yes.
And I had like a ton of like throat troubles and culminating to kind of this worst case scenario moment where I, multiple times I got, it was swollen so badly that I couldn't swallow anything. Like I couldn't even swallow my own saliva wouldn't go down and
oh
it would
my
be
gosh.
Like, I would be like gagging and nobody knew what was going on. Anyway, so they found like strictures, like things were like growing in the esophagus, like growing so big that it like closed it out.
Yeah.
Not my windpipe.
Right.
But like
the esophagus?
The food tube. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they like, oh man, we got to knock this thing out of there. And then they misdiagnosed it a handful of times.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. Because they didn't know what this thing was.
Yeah.
And they were like, maybe it's your adenoids. Maybe it's these tonsils. How about let's get the wisdom teeth out of there. Maybe it's this. And it just kept getting worse. And we went to another hospital in Iowa City, and that's where they diagnosed me with this thing that's like it's like a disease that old men get. And I was 12 at the time.
What?
So they didn't think of it because it's like usually later in life you get this thing called called Barrett's esophagus, which is basically at the top of your stomach, you have a valve that opens and closes. So it opens and you eat, and it closes so that the acid doesn't like spill out.
Yeah,
right. Right.
Yeah,
because the stomach is designed to like handle stomach acid.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. And I was just born without one of these things.
Without that lid.
So without the valve, just there was no closing of it.
Wow.
So 24/7, baby Cassidy's just like splashing acid all the time.
Oh my god!
And it culminates to this thing where Barrett's esophagus is the process. It's the condition where you have radical cell mutation in your esophagus. Like your esophagus, due to acid reflux to the nth degree, starts turning into stomach to like protect itself. So
oh no,
because there's enough stomach that they're like, or there's enough acid that they're like, we're gonna get seriously hurt if we don't turn into stomach right now. And then anytime you have cells like just kind of changing like that, then they're like, this is like, it's precancerous at that point, because that's like a warning.
Right.
It's like, oh, if this kind of starts like toppling down your genome the wrong way or whatever, down your DNA, like this is what leads to like, oh, all of a sudden your pancreas is turning into something else and your lung is turning into something else. And but it didn't get to that. It didn't get to that. They were able to solve it first. And they did that. There's this surgery with a great name. It's called a fundoplication.
Fundoplication?
Fundoplication.
Woo!
And that's basically like I have, you can see here on the podcast where I'm pointing to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have like an 8-9 inch scar across my abdomen where they like cut me open and went inside and they like tied the big part of my stomach around and made a valve there.
What?
So they didn't put like any weird thing in there from like, it's not like there's steel rods or like some like device.
Yeah.
They took part of, like, it's amazing. Like, they kind of took part of an organ that was related, whose job, it wasn't that organ's job to make that valve, but you can teach it to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So now there is a valve there that was created kind of like as a stopgap, kind of, because it's, like I said, this is like, Barrett's was like a thing, it's like, 80-year-old dudes get this. So
their valve goes away?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Because the nature of it, exactly. Like, most people who get it, it's just like, oh, the valve weakens over time, mm-hmm, and then you get it when you're old.
Yeah.
But I got it when I was young, and all the solutions are kind of designed to buy you another 10 years or 20 years or something, because you're old anyway, so let's see if we can get you to 95 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've had that process twice, and it's
gotten... Oh, my God.
And there's like... Yeah, the second time I did that surgery was out here in L.A. That was 13 years after that, and it had already gotten so much easier, so much easier.
Like the procedure had.
Yeah, because the first time I was in the hospital for almost a week, and then I was bedridden for like 2 weeks after that. It was like the worst winter break of my life. Like, I was 13, and like, it was awful. The whole time you have away from school to like go on sled and... whatever, do all that Calvin and Hobbes stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do it. I was in my bed with, like, saran wrap around me so I could shower.
Ugh, it was awful. That's terrible.
The second time,
yeah,
they do it laparoscopically. So have you guys had any laparoscopic?
I have not.
Uh-uh.
It's like they blow your – I don't know how to describe this. They, like, blow it up with air.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they, like – so they separate your, so that your like skin layer, your outer layer, kind of goes, broop, and they put air in there, and they go in with like tiny incisions. They're like working in the gap of air inside there with like a camera and a thing.
That's it. Must
inside
be.
You instead of cutting it open and having it like looking at it.
It's crazy. It must be like crazy to be a surgeon to because like your career. Like, think about, like, if your job used to be, like, just slicing someone open and doing things, like, with your hands, like, just looking at it. Like, to be able to then have to transition to, like, doing this weird stuff with a camera must be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's – I can't imagine. Like, I can barely stand the, like, exposure to the medical world that I've had on the other side of that. Like, I can barely stomach half of the stuff that happens in the hospital. I can't. Imagine like reaching into some dude's guts and but that's the big reason that the first surgery was so much more painful because when a foreign object goes into like and touches your organs, like touches your stomach or pancreas or whatever, that organ like as a defense mechanism shuts off.
Whoa.
So like that certainly happens like I guess it would happen if you got shot or stabbed or something too, probably, actually. But for surgeons, the first time when they open you up and they're like actually taking their hands and moving your stuff around, the pain of it is like your system's kind of coming back online and your digestive system kind of like cranking back into gear and stuff like that because it kind of goes into shutdown and kind of all boots back up.
Because it thinks it's dead pretty much, right?
Yeah. Or
it's playing dead.
Or, yes, I don't know, actually. Maybe it is playing possum like that. I don't know if it's – I guess that is probably what it is. But I remember like – thinking at the time, I was like, I wonder if this is why like babies cry kind of nonstop, which like, actually isn't true. I've learned in my life, but like what you perceive a baby is like, oh man, that baby's like in excruciating pain all the time because your body is just like ballooning out at an insane growth rate.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the growing pains from your teenage years compounded by every part of your body is like truly
where you could literally double in size in the course of months.
And like your digestive like you're learning how to like digest food and your every system is kind of like sputtering to life which
and so close
I
to
imagine
each other.
Is very painful
little babies like the everything is like you know I mean I'm a giant man you know like my got my rasp my digest they've never even met in a baby on the other hand
they're all crowded in the same little house
exactly it's like living in a dorm room
it's like being in a tiny house
exactly it's like the babies are the tiny house of humans
so
you had the second surgery, it was laparoscopic.
Oh, yeah.
So and that was easier to bounce back from?
Because that one, I was driving like a week after that.
Whoa.
I was like, I was in the hospital for like 2 or 3 days and then in bed for like 2 or 3 days, but I was like walking and running around and doing normal stuff. But there's...
And this was the one in L.A.?
Mm-hmm. This was the one at Cedars.
Yeah, yeah.
Which which was so much better already. Maybe just by the nature of me not being 13,
yeah.
It might have been just I was like kind of almost an adult at that
yeah.
point, so
yeah.
I was like I could handle it a little bit.
Yeah.
But now they have this other, I mean, whatever. Maybe we don't need to go this far down this road, but they have this other process now.
Yeah.
So I had those two fundoplications. Fundoplications.
Fundoplications.
Sounds like a Play-Doh toy.
Yeah, I know. It really does. That Fuck. Makes like little like yeah. star-shaped yeah. snakes. Yeah. Like,
did they just grind my pancreas out into a little star? Into a little cylinder? God, I've drastically overpaid for that process.
Play-Doh surgeon.
But now there's a thing called Barex, which is like, I was saying this right before we
yeah,
started.
Yeah.
We like...
How do you spell that?
Barex... Barrett's is, okay. Barrett's is B-A-R-R-E-T-S, I think.
Okay. So Barrett, oh,
confirmation
so
on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Barrex is the B-A-R-R of Barrett's, and then dash X, like,
right.
let's
oh.
get rid of the Barrett's.
Oh,
so
yeah, TM.
It's like, they go down, and I've, just because of this, I have endoscopies annually, or mm-hmm. at least, just to kind of monitor and look at mm-hmm. it and go like, there's just this much Barrett's left, or there's, you know, because it's a
yeah.
big stretch of it. Because they didn't catch it for so long. But Barrex is, they go down like an endoscopy with like this balloon. And they
oh.
and they inflate the balloon so that it's touching the full kind of area all the way around on your food tube, on
mm-hmm.
your esophagus. And then it burns off like the damaged...
Whoa.
Layer
Whoa.
Of cells. So, like, the Barrett's that's in there, those cells that, like,
yeah.
were flip-flopping at one point, the idea is, like, they burn it all out.
Yeah.
And then when it grows back, it'll grow back, like, normal, according to, like,
huh.
your normal DNA, you know, instructions. It'll grow back good. That's the idea.
So you know? It'll grow back the valve that it...
No, this just is just back. To correct
oh.
the damaged, like,
gotcha.
Area
gotcha.
In the
gotcha.
Esophagus.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like treating... This is like getting rid of the symptomatic
yeah.
area,
yeah.
and the fundo is like to try to like stop it from spread.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Huh. So as a result of this, like, what effect does it have on your life? Like on your day to day life,
yeah.
or like on your like does it like. What am I trying to say? Well, just you can answer the question that I already asked. don't know that I need a second part to a question that fairly clear.
It's like. Generally, it's kind of like anybody with reflux, what you're kind of supposed to do, like kind of avoid high-acid foods, like daily medicine is a thing, which I've kind of done a poor job of, I mm-hmm. suppose, like for a bunch of my life, though I've gotten more responsible about it. It doesn't really affect anything else, though. I think probably, you know, or a reason that I don't kind of freak out about it that much is I'm not thinking about it very much because the nerve endings... From the very get-go of it, we're all like sayonara forever
oh.
ago.
Right,
like,
right.
So you never had pain.
I wasn't like
it.
Getting heartburn and stuff. Yeah,
because
I think that was another reason that I got misdiagnosed. Is they were like, you should have been in like severe pain.
Yeah, yeah.
And you weren't, and I was like,
Which,
yeah. But they were like, oh yeah, there's no nerve endings
mm-hmm.
in there for you to feel heartburn anymore.
With,
yeah.
yeah.
So even if like having like a you know a big bowl of chili and 10 tomatoes and like all the acidy
yeah,
foods that
yeah.
you can. If it was like bad, I don't think I would be able to feel it. So,
I had like because as our loyal listeners know, I had some esophageal stuff as
yeah.
well that was not categorically just not in the same world. I'm willing to admit. Ordinarily, I would.
It's big of you to admit it.
Yeah, it's breaking my heart. but yeah, mine wasn't nearly that severe. But I would have that pain that you're talking about, which I think you know
uh-huh.
in most people's case, I think it ends up being GERT or something like that,
yep.
or like. Yeah, some sort of acid reflux related
yeah.
thing, and I would get that severe burning, and then in some cases, like it would make me vomit. Like, does that kind of thing happen with you?
Well, that's an interesting wrinkle in this whole thing is that fundo process renders me incapable of vomiting.
Oh, so
I cannot regurgitate.
Like
oh, because that
you,
valve
it,
is
like
what
you
pushes
you
your
cannot.
Food up.
I haven't since I was 13 years old.
So what's
what and a, which is kind of. Can be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can be really bad.
Do
Most
ever,
of the time, it's great. I never
stuff?
Puke.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Not really. Like, that's, I don't really get that, I don't catch that kind
when
of bug very
bad?
Often.
Right.
I mean, like, in kind of food poisoning scenarios.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, only one way out for that food. And, like, anything that's troubling you digestive-wise, you just gotta wait it out.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That's terrible.
And, like, certain hallucinogens, when consumed, are awfully nice to be able to get out of your stomach.
Once you've
achieved the psychotropic effects. But I can't do that either, which is kind of lame. Or, like, if you're sick from, you know, any upset, like, from drinking or from a bad meal or whatever, it's like, man, puking sucks, but in 3 seconds I'm going to feel so great because I puked. I can't cash in on that.
So here's my question on that subject that I don't know how to ask medically. So we'll like go with my, you know.
That excited me. That I can't wait to hear what it is.
Yeah, because you know, like I'm dumb. So like there's certain things I can't say right.
Yeah, that excites me.
Yeah.
Like so, you know, like it basically when you get sick that way, like when you get food poisoning, you know, it goes up and out, and then it goes down and out. Mm-hmm. Like, does it just go? Did the stuff that would be inside of you that the rest of us are like having to like expel through our mouths? Do you just like pump it out of your butt?
You just poop it. I wanted.
I guess
to
I did say that medically.
Yeah.
I guess I said that like a real doctor. Yeah.
You included the terms "pump out your butt."
Yeah.
Pump it out. A little more.
That's playing when the EMTs arrive on the ambulance.
Very unprofessional.
Yeah.
Are you like all diarrhea all the time?
All diarrhea. All the time.
This is what Ben's asking, right?
Yeah. Is all diarrhea time your drive time radio show?
And I can supply all my own side effects without the keyboard. I would say, I don't know if they're related or not, but I don't have to deal with that often.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm not getting those flus or whatever because my body knows I'm not, you know, going to be able to handle it or something, if that's related somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's just I'm lucky and I don't have to deal with it. But every few years, there's some moment where it's like, man, it'd be great to yak right now. Just one minute. But not very often. Not often enough that it gets in my way. It's better than having a precancerous nonsense happening.
Yes.
No question.
Very easy trade.
Trading up. That was actually that was our next question. Would you trade it? And you answered for it.
Would you trade your life?
Well, because we like to explore different like lunchroom style trades. And like you give me your snack pack and I give you my banana.
You're never getting that snack pack.
You give me your.
I'll maybe give you my chocolate milk. Maybe.
Oh, that would have been my dream as a young boy.
To get
my Oreos.
If I could have lived on chocolate milk and tater tots, I would have.
Tater tots.
You know what? I could have, and I did.
I was a really picky lunch eater. I didn't like sandwiches.
Just the construction, the whole thing of a sandwich.
Yeah,
it's not like you would eat the middle of a sandwich and like you didn't like bread.
Nope, I just didn't like it all together. Too much going on.
Wow, that's a big category of food to rule out.
It's a pain in the ass for a parent. Like, and my mom was like cool as hell. She made our lunches, and she would for a long time. My lunch was like a bagel with butter and then several separate pieces of salami. Then I started.
And it worked?
Yeah, but then I started farting so much they had to stop.
Well,
they were like, you have to have a different lunch.
Yeah, just a bagel with butter and slices
of salami.
Here's your fart juice,
honey.
Like,
run around all day and then just fart and fart and fart.
Madeline is very unpopular at school. So that was them like tricking you back into eating a sandwich. Was like, let's give her the bread first, and then the
not even. Then they would like she would make me like a thermos of like soup or pasta.
A blended sandwich.
Yeah.
And from there, your popularity launched. The thermos of soup, lady.
Yeah. And here we are. There's the thermos right there. I've never seen you without it.
Who's that girl with the soup?
Oh man, that soup smells like a BLT.
That soup smells like a salami fart.
I can't remember if I ever told this on the podcast, but one time in middle school, my mom accidentally gave me a beer in my lunchbox.
What? Like a can of beer instead of what? A can of V8 or something?
I was old enough sometimes I would take a Diet Pepsi or a regular. Yeah, yeah. Or like it was, I would take a soda sometimes, and my grandpa was visiting and he drank Coors Light.
Okay,
and
yeah.
So we had grandpa. Sodas and Coors Light in the fridge and they looked essentially the same. And so my mom, who I should have been making my own lunch, but I was a spoiled little brat, and my mom was nice enough to make it. And so yeah. I just remember opening up my lunchbox and being like, and I just had this like beer in my hand. I was in like seventh grade, and I like carried it around. I was so scared all day someone was going to find it.
Start selling sips for $10.
Yeah.
It is weird the way that soft drink and beer can, like Tecate and Coca-Cola, like, they're twins.
Yeah. They look similar. Yeah. You'd think there'd be like, that'd be like cigarettes coming in like a Baby Ruth wrapper or a wrapper that looks like the same as a candy bar or something.
It's really weird.
I have never thought about that, but that silver is way too similar.
It's way too, a beer can should be like, I don't know, like green.
Just skull and crossbones on the outside.
Definitely.
That's very funny. So then did you tell your mom?
Yeah. And she was like, Mom, you gave me a beer. She's like, I'm sorry. I don't know. Sometimes she would also wear my jacket. Like if she like, put my jacket on in the morning to like go like get the mail or sometimes she would leave cigarettes in the pocket.
Oh, geez.
And I think I was in high school at this point, but I would like just go in that pocket full of cigarettes.
What a badass.
Yeah, I know. This is like explains why you never had like a strong rebellious period.
Yeah, I was just being sent to school with a pocket.
And you're just
full
like, oh God, Mom, I hate it when my mom gives me cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
How am I supposed to get my energy up with this beer? You want to play a game?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a game we played it one time before. It's called What's Shaken Baby Syndrome.
It's not about babies.
It's not about babies.
What? Okay.
Cool. Yeah, it's not.
So... I've got a list of some various syndromes on here. Mm. These are like psychological kinds of things. And I'm going to tell you guys the name, and then you will confer over what you think the syndrome is. And if you're right, you get a point. Great. And if you're not right, you also get a point.
Can't lose.
You really can't lose.
I guess we don't even need to try.
No.
Which I guess is opting out of the game.
So it's like we come up with what the syndrome is.
Yeah, you
like a balderdash or something.
We guess
what we think. Got it. Based on the name.
I think you guys are going to try because you're a couple of overachievers.
That's right.
True.
Okay.
I can't stop trying. Wish I could.
Can't stop. Won't
even
stop.
When my mom tries to poison me with beers. She was doing too well in school, so I started sending her beers. Your evil mom.
I know.
It was so funny that, like, at first you were like, my mom was cool as shit. She would make me a lunch with no sandwiches. It would just be like these two foods. And then when the story turned away from her coolness is when you started getting beers and cigarettes.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, you won't eat a sandwich. Yeah. How about this? And you just start getting like a Jack Daniels bottle between two pieces of bread. Oh, I like sandwiches after all.
Okay.
So, syndromes.
We got five syndromes here. We'll see how many we get to. The first one is called listomania. What is listomania?
Listomania.
Yeah. And don't ask me to spell them because they're real long. They're all real long.
There was like a song called, I think it was like a Phoenix song, you know, that like called Listomania.
Oh, I don't know that.
I feel like for a while it was like playing everywhere.
What was it about? What syndrome was it about?
It was like Listomania. But
oh,
I
yeah,
know,
I do
yeah,
know
you
that
know
song.
What I mean? Yeah.
Listomania.
I don't know what the contents of
it. I couldn't tell you a single lyric from it. I want to relate it to like being listless. Is that a thing?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like making lists all the time. That's like seems like the first thing that
like
I thought
a little
of.
Too, yeah.
But it seems like the joke answer.
Yeah.
If it was a multiple choice and that was one of them, I would say
it can't be that one. Too obvious.
I don't know, but listless. What is that? That's like being antsy.
Yeah.
Or like,
being like unable to like sort of.
Or
yeah, kind of like a little.
Listomania, though. Like, Usually when you have a mania, it's like that's like all you. The,
yeah,
that
it's
thing
like the opposite
like,
of being
takes
listless.
Over your life.
Yeah.
I'm going to need an answer, folks.
We got to wrap this. We got to wrap this up, Madeline. I don't know.
Maybe it's something. I don't know why, but like maybe it has something to do with in your something you do in your sleep.
Yeah, like restless leg or something.
Yeah, like something like sort of sleepish and listless. Like
listless could be like insomnia even
yeah.
too. Like the inability
yeah.
to like calm down or like stop moving enough to sleep.
Yeah.
Or
is that what you're gonna go with?
Can that be the answer to that long
like
rambling thing
sort
I just
of
said?
Restless sleep.
Okay.
Restless sleep.
That is not correct.
Oh, you tricked us. You
I just
knew.
Wanted an answer. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I have the answers. I know all of them. Listomania, the intense fan frenzy directed towards Franz Liszt during
what?
His
really?
Performances. Yes,
There's
this
a
was
Z
the original
in that Listomania.
Yeah, yeah. It was the original Beatlemania.
If you had pronounced
the original Bieber Fever.
The original Bieber Fever. I yeah. picked this one cuz he's a piano virtuoso like you, buddy. This one was for you.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
So yeah, the term was coined by Heinrich Heine discussing the 1844 Parisian concert season. Listomania was characterized by intense levels of hysteria demonstrated by fans.
That's
akin
great.
To the treatment of celebrity musicians today, but in a time not known for such musical hysterics.
That is
Listomania.
Nuts.
List okay. is like John Lennon, man.
Yes, exactly. He was
John
Lennon
of Vienna.
And I looked up his picture and like you wouldn't have guessed it. And then I sort of started thinking back and it's like was John Lennon a physical heartthrob, or was he just
for sure
John Lennon?
Well, I think before, I think both.
Okay,
I think him and McCartney in particular, all
McCartney
of them
for sure.
But they were all yeah. like, I think, hunks at
okay.
the time.
Oh, good to know.
I think so.
All right, number two.
So is Franz Liszt.
Retired husband syndrome. What is retired husband syndrome? I will spell. That
are these more. And these are all like. This is a weird question. These are all human
yeah.
oddities.
Oh, yeah.
Because husbandry is like a thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
oh,
it's
right.
like, oh, maybe when they, like, a Mustang
doesn't
fuck anymore.
I think, did we do this one before on a different one?
I don't, maybe we did. I don't think so.
If I get it right, it might be because we did it before.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Is it when your husband retires and you want to kill him?
Well, it's close, but
like your or someone's like husband retires, they go crazy.
Yeah, it's so,
like cabin
yes,
fever,
a psychosomatic stress related illness that has been estimated to occur in 60% of Japan's older female population. It is a condition where a woman begins to exhibit signs of physical illness and depression as their husband approaches retirement age.
Wow,
I think
Japan.
That's
maybe we talked about
I
it.
I think
yeah.
we might have talked about that one in the Lauren
the
episode.
Japanese, they look at work very differently.
They do.
Yeah.
Than Americans do. They truly do. So that's truly a female
yeah.
syndrome.
Yeah.
What about when the wife, like a husband is home and the wife retires? What's
I
that?
I don't think that's
no existence
common
of that in
enough
Japan.
That it's
nope. yeah.
All right.
called
well,
a syndrome.
I guess I gotta be the first guy.
Paris syndrome. What is Paris syndrome?
Baguette infection.
Is Paris a Greek person also?
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
What did he do?
He, I know it had to do with Achilles. Like, I think he was the one who...
did he run all around?
I mean, is Paris, like, related to love at all in that the mythology? Like,
oh.
seeing the Eros kind of Cupid-y
oh, yeah.
zone?
And there's a Paris in Romeo and Juliet, I think, too.
Yeah.
I might be wrong about that.
No, I think you're
no.
Right.
That's the prince's name, right?
Yeah.
The
one who Juliet.
She's betrothed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the syndrome where you are betrothed to.
Juliet.
Claire Danes.
Yeah. Claire Danes. You have to marry Claire
you
Danes.
You have okay. to marry. Claire Danes.
Very close.
What a
chore. Very close.
What a...
Paris syndrome is a transient psychological disorder exhibited Ooh. By some individuals when visiting Paris as a result of finding out that Paris is not what they expected.
No!
So basically, and so,
it's
once again...
It's just disappointment?
Yeah, I think it's just disappointment with what Paris is. The condition is commonly viewed as a severe form of culture shock and is particularly noted among... Japanese tourists.
No!
I thought you were going to say Americans. I feel like in America, like Paris is such a thing.
I thought you were going to be like
yeah.
women.
I've got baguette fever.
That's so funny and also makes perfect. Like, I feel like that's like a good thing to have a word for. Like, that, like, something like sort of that you've. because Paris is a unique, because I think everybody like has an image of Paris. Definitely. Like, mm-hmm. and to have that not match what it actually is.
Is a syndrome.
Very jarring.
Yeah.
It's a syndrome.
Okay, we've got two more. We've only got a couple more minutes. Oh, yeah. It's a gourmand syndrome. What is gourmand syndrome?
Oh, my God.
G-O-U-R-M-A-N-D.
When you have to eat everything,
you can't stop eating?
You, like, have to try everything you see?
Like a
compulsion?
Like a gourmet?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you see something, you're like, I gotta eat it. You can't not eat it.
The seafood and eat it?
Seafood
syndrome?
And eat it, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with it. Okay. I don't have a better guess.
That one actually is fairly close. A rare benign condition that occurs in people who sustain injuries to the right frontal lobe. These people develop a new post-injury passion for gourmet food.
What?
Good.
It is characterized by a right hemisphere brain lesion and an obsessive focus on eating, thinking, talking, and writing about fine foods. The most famous case developed in a Swiss stroke patient. After his release from the hospital, he immediately quit his job as a political journalist and took up the profession of food critic.
What?
Gourmand syndrome.
I thought you were going to say, like, there was somebody named gourmand, too, but that's crazy.
That's
like, you get
crazy.
Hit in the head, and all of a sudden you, like,
I love food.
Yeah. Like, artisanal cakes and stuff.
That's basically what happened. Okay, our last one.
I want to get it.
I want it, too.
How do you get it?
Well, I have friends who know someone who only ever ate chicken fingers and hamburgers his whole life, and then in later life became a gourmet chef.
Wow.
Maybe... He got hit in the head and he doesn't know it.
With a burger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got hit with a chicken strip to the side of the head.
Okay, our last one. Merry Heart Syndrome. What is Merry Heart Syndrome?
Merry Heart. Is that a person?
Is that from the show? Is that like Mary Tyler Moore? Wasn't there a show called Merry Heart also?
Can't tell you.
Is it that her show on that show? What? Or
was it? Oh,
I don't think so. I don't know what Merry Heart.
Or, I mean, it could also be...
Like, could be, like, a joyful...
Oh, Mary, M-E-R-R.
Could be.
Why? Like, you won't tell us.
No,
like,
I won't.
Like, during a certain time of year, you have Merry Heart Syndrome. Maybe it's like Paris Syndrome, and you, like, you think you're going to be very merry, and you get to Christmas time,
and
you're like, this
you're
sucks.
Sad.
There's another word for that. I think that's not it. I think
seasonal depression?
Yeah, seasonal affective disorder.
That's when you can't... That's the light. The you need, like, to get one of those lamps that makes it bright around your head so you can get up.
Yeah.
That's true. What are we going with, guys?
You think you're in the TV show Merry Heart? Is that a TV show?
A syndrome where you think you're on television and you're not.
Not super far off.
Really?
Though what you're actually describing is called the Truman Show syndrome now as the result of the Truman Show. That is like a real thing now. Yeah. Merry Heart syndrome is actually named after the television personality Mary Hart. Caesars, brought upon by hearing the voice of TV personality Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight, a doctor who studied one of these claims reported that the woman would also grip her head, looking distracted and confused. It is important to note, however, that this strange syndrome seems to only affect those who have seizures for other reasons, but there were multiple cases of people who heard Mary Hart's voice on The Tonight Show and immediately went into seizures.
You're kidding.
Wow, so you were right. You knew who Mary Hart was. You just couldn't place it.
Yeah. I couldn't.
That's
a
lot closer than I got.
That's so her voice is like a strobe light.
Yeah.
That's
weird.
That's a great way to describe it. Yeah, her voice was like a strobe light for epileptics.
Wow.
So, guys, that's another round of a game I can't remember the name of.
Syndrome.
Michael Cassidy. You've been an amazing guest for us.
Oh, my God.
Anything you'd like to plug?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I guess just by Twitter, at Michael Cassidy, MichaelCassady.
Great.
That's the twist.
Yeah,
Instagram,
that's right.
Too? Same Instagram?
Same Instagram.
Nice. Find Michael Cassidy on the interweb. Let him know how much you love him. Let them know how much you love us, but don't tell us.
Engage with these guys.
And if you liked this, you check out his wife Deanna's episode.
Yeah,
oh, that's exactly. Right.
Deanna Russo.
Great.
Deanna Russo.
Yeah.
She had a lot of great things to say.
Rigby's next.
She's
great.
One sick freak, I'll tell you what.
She truly is. Great lady, though.
Great lady.
What a gal.
What a gal. What a broad.
We all have Deanna Russo syndrome.
Yeah, we do.
Can't stop dreaming about her.
I get seizures when she speaks.
Yeah, it's tough when you come over to our house.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's kind of on the ground, us putting food in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what you should be doing.
That's what you do with a seizure.
Just put food in there.
Yeah. Try to block their windpipes so they'll shut up.
You know me, I'll never show up when I'm seizuring. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.